The following recording has a number of different options available to you. The first is the recording of the current Tough Yomi 13th cycle, and it's done rather rapidly, without great detail. That's followed by a very fast review that enables you to go over the daf in about 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by a recording of the Tough Yomi from the previous cycle, done at greater length, more detail, and also with a different ambience, a different audience. You can use one for your original learning and one for your review, but whatever you do, enjoy. Today's daf in the Sechet Pesachim brought to you mibein Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Mem, and we are holding on the Halakha Mishnah on daf Lamatet Amud Beit, and we're moving on now to speak not about the actual mitzvah, the matzah that we're going to have to use for mitzvah, but we want to talk about what can be done with things that have a chance of turning into chametz, not for eating purposes necessarily, for making matzahs. How about for chicken feed? You're not allowed to take the bran mix that you make for the chickens and soak it in water in order to soften it, because it could obviously become chametz. You are, however, allowed to pour boiling hot water over it, because the hot water will actually scald it and will not be able to become chametz afterwards. That's a type of cooking, basically. Ha'isha, lo tishret ha-mursan, she-tolich biyad ha-lemerchatz. The mursan was used not only as chicken feed, but was used as a scrub.
Yeah.
And I can point out in many of your facial scrubs, there's things like that. So that's pretty typical. However, a woman should not soak it and then take it to her with her into the Beit Merchatz, because it can easily become chametz. But what she could do is she could use it dry as a rub against her skin. Even if her skin is sweaty, that's not going to cause it to become chametz. So it would have to be the thing itself. The mursan itself would be yavesh. Furthermore, it was fairly common to use as an antiseptic a chewed-on grain. And the saliva contains a lot of antiseptic materials, and the grain would help for healing. Therefore, comes on the Mishnah to say, do not chew on some wheat and then use the chewed mixture, yaniach makato, to use it on a wound, because the saliva will cause it to become chametz. The following processes are going to make the resultant grains impossible to ultimately become chametz. So once something is cooked, it cannot become chametz again. And therefore, obviously, it's a little bit ridiculous to worry about gebrochs. The only reason that we worry about gebrochs is because the way in which the Ashkenazim make matzah is so horrifically inefficient, because of making the rikikin that the Rambam says they should make. So it became thicker and thicker and thicker dough, to the point where it's almost impossible to really mix the dough properly with water, because it's too hard. And therefore, you can actually find pieces of flour that have never touched water. And therefore the question is, in the middle of a matzah, would they have been baked? Maybe they're not baked either, because the heat doesn't go through it, and because of that, it would become, the moment it touches water, it would become chametz. Okay, obviously a very far-fetched kind of thing, but that's where that comes from. But obviously, if we knew that it was really baked, there would be no problem. Furthermore, it's something which is boiled. Now, the problem is, how do you get it to the boil? That we're going to have to talk about more in a moment. The achalut is something which was scalded, that you scalded berotchin with the water at a boiling temperature. Now, those things will never become chametz again. Mevushal? What do you mean boiled? I don't understand. If it's put into boiling hot water, then that's scalding. If you're talking about boiling it up, I mean, it takes time to boil it up. By the time it boils, it's already chametz. So what do you mean when you say mevushal? Ademevashal and nechameah. Amar of Papa, what this means is a fui where it was baked and you went ahead and you were mevashal it afterwards. You might think that maybe makes it easier because it's slowly brought to a boil. Maybe over there it would become chametz. No, even that is not considered to be chametz. That's what it means. Tanya Rebbe Yehuda, kemach shenafala tochot delef. Suppose you find your whole areva. How do you say an areva? Yeah, a kneading trough. You had it filled with kemach, you know, leave it in your kitchen. Come back the next morning to discover that a pipe is leaking in the ceiling of your kitchen, and all night long it's been dripping into your bowl of flour that you were going to make your matzahs with. Oh my God, it's kosher, even though it's been dripping all night long. Why is that? Even if it's been going on kol yom kulo, it will not be boli de chimutz, because the chimutz requires silence. In other words, there has to be a moment that the dough has been left alone. Nobody's working on it, there's nothing's dripping into it, and so on. But as long as things are happening, you do not get the effect of chimutz. Because
it's
each, exactly, yeah. So it's a cement mixer. It keeps, things keep burning into it. That's not, some say this is only if it wasn't filled with water, and now the water is dripping on top of it, the chemicals lying inside the water. That, of course, is from it. But here it's talking about, no good. Here it's talking about where it's dripping ought to, but has not yet submerged it. So this is only Omer of Papa, this is only if it's continually dripping. Vuhudavi, tip, so that's be tiplade tip. It's gotta be going one drop after the other. And that way it drives, you know, I mean, if you were a microorganism, would you want to reproduce when there's tipping all around? No. Ami Devei Rabbi Shila. Well, Vatika is shori. So Vatika is the kind of candy that you make, but there's different ways of making it. Now it is grain based. It's got a flour content in it. But the question is how it's made, as we'll see in a moment. So, vatika is mutter to eat, that kind of candy, to which Gemara immediately counters with a braita that says, vatanya vatika is osur to eat on Pesach. And we'll have to say that there's two different ways of making vatika. There's a cheapo way, which uses water. Obviously, if you can't rely on a candy bar not to be chametz, it's got water and kema. But hodi avida b'mishka u'miocha is that high quality vatika, you know, pure olive oil and salt. So it was a salty kind of bar. And Hadavdik B'mayav milk, the cheap one, uses water. Of course, they charge more for it because it was diet. But, you know, it's always that way. So that is certainly possible to be, probable to be chametz. Amar Marzutra, Lulimcha Inish Kedera B'kimcha D'Avishna, Tivolo Bashil Shapir Vati L'Dei Chimutz. What we often use now cornstarch for, that type of thing, or corn flour. You want to make something a little thicker. So you add this starch to it, and that thickens it, like cream of corn kind of thing. Well, they used to use actual kemach. The thing is, obviously, nobody would use kemach on Pesach, but the chap over here was to use kemach da'avishna. Kemach da'avishna means you take the grains, you have parched grains, like the koli would be on sorin. You do the same thing for kemach. You have popped wheat. Once it's already roasted, the actual kernels of wheat themselves, theoretically, it's not going to be bali dechimus. It just says something that was already a foyer, mevushal, is not going to come in dechimus. So there ought to be no problem. So theoretically, if I made this properly and all of the grains were properly popped, if afterwards I grind them up and I turn them into a flour, big deal. But nonetheless, says Marzutra, do not rely on it, because you never know that all the grains were popped. Dumalo bashal shapir. And because of that, you made your kemach out of some real normal grains, which the moment that they're exposed on Pesach to the soup or whatever you're putting them into, they're going to be out of the dechimutz. Even on actual grains, forget about flour. If you pour hot water over even two kernels of wheat, the problem with wheat is that it's got a slit right down the middle. Now, suppose one kernel ends up getting caught in the slit of the other kernel. It's going to prevent the hot water from getting there. The whole idea of chalita is that the grain is cooked instantly on all sides, and that cauterizes it essentially, and it'll never become chametz again. But over here, if it was covered in the slit, then that part remained cool and wasn't really heated at the time. So then afterwards, when it's exposed to water, it will become chametz. Because that dima is the chod of yatva b'tzimid chaverta, we're afraid that one grain may end up getting caught in the slit of the other grain. Because of that, the hot water that's been poured on it is not going to affect it on all four sides. And because of that, afterwards, utterly dechimutz. You want to buy another thing, says Abaye. You can't even take dry, forget about pouring hot water. You can't take two dried grain and put them into a hot pot in order to roast them. So lo lichra chinish trei shibulei. You cannot take the two shibolim and put the body at that, and then apply heat, because heat causes liquid to leak out of the grains. So what if liquid comes from one grain and the other grain absorbs it, and then it'll be ati dechimutz? That's ridiculous. So then even one grain? Why two grains? I mean, if you're claiming that moisture that is forced out from a grain by heat is able to be mechametz, and that's not a problem that made pechal not mechametz that we spoke about earlier. So then why not say dilma mehal, nothing mehai risha? It'll come out of one end of the grain and bola idach risha. So that's crazy. This whole thing is an exercise of futility. There's no water in the grain. There is made peirot of the grain. And that's not mechametz. Mechametz. And the truth is that Abaye actually himself changed his mind for about what he had said over there, but not for the reason that he agreed with Rava that mei perot are not machmitzim, but because of another reason. And that is the kol agav mitlayu lo machmitzim. When the moisture is just falling out and running along something, it does not cause chimatz. It has to actually be lying in it. And since over here the moisture would be coming out and then just be falling along the pot, it will not be mischametz. How do we know that Abaye changed his mind? Because Abaye said a chatz b'davishna, sechifa shari and sechifa aser. As we spoke about earlier, the way to make grain that was avishna, which was popped grains, they would put it inside of a container and they would leave it in a hot oven, and that way all the grains would basically pop, as they microwaved it, so to speak. Now the question is,
cereal, right?
Yeah, it would be made the same way. Yeah. So the question is, what direction did they put the container of the wheat? So the fig was normally made, and it's the same thing that people do a lousy job popping popcorn, where they allow it to sit in, it sits in the oil or something. It's not a good way to make popcorn. So you try to make it in a way that it drops immediately, either by air popping, you don't have the whole problem, or by the type of machines that they use where it's turning around, and the moment that it pops, it goes out of the oil. So here what they did was, is they would have the container of the wheat would be kept upside down, like, you know, something to hold the wheat in, like maybe a reshet of some kind, and then anything that would come out of the wheat would fall out into the tanur. And Abaye says that would be fine. If it was in that direction, it's no problem. Even though he holds that the moisture that's being emitted by the various kernels is mechametz. But obviously, because it's not going to sit in it, and it's just flowing along and going out in the bottom of the tanur, it's not a problem. So therefore, here too, it shouldn't be a problem. So if you have the chatz for the avishna, the particular type of container that was used for drying the grains, so if it was sechifa, it was upside down, the possible allowing the moisture to come out the bottom, it's mutter, to use on Pesach. But sechifa, if it's right side up, then it's osur. Rava, and of course Rava Lashitasa disagrees, because according to him, it's just mei perot, and mei perot are not machmitz. It's enough to worry about the moisture in the grain itself. You are not allowed to do latita. Now, we spoke about latita before in terms of the minachot. We're going to get back to that again, Rabbi Yitzchak, and so on. We spoke about it earlier. So, here we're talking about in your own house, and you've got grains of barley, and you want to make it clean. The way that they used to clean was that they let water run over it, and that would wash off a lot of the dirt, and would also, of course, soften the actual kernels and make it easier to process. You cannot do that on Pesach. And if you did, v'im latat, now we're going to see the difference between chitim and sa'orim. But meanwhile, let's assume we're talking about sa'orim because we're taking this as an example. So if you did, nitbake'u, if the individual kernels have cracked open because of the amount of moisture they were exposed to, so then they are asurot, because then that means that the moisture got into the grain itself, and therefore that will become chametz. But lo nidbaku, if it remains smooth on the outside, hasn't cracked open, then it means that the exterior of the kernel protected the actual grain content from the water, and you don't have to worry about it. Rabbi Yossi says, look, it's not a problem, because all you need to do is bishoran the chometz sometime, even if they cracked open. And they don't become chometz immediately. If they crack open, it means they have now begun the process of chimutz. By the time I will grind them up and make them into anything usable, it'll be too late. But, says Rabbi Yossi, it won't be too late, because what you could do is cauterize the grain. How do you cauterize the grain? You dip them into vinegar. And then the vinegar cauterizes it, and now it'll never become chometz.
Ironically enough.
What's that?
Ironically enough.
Yeah, ironically enough, chometz drives people crazy. Chometz must be chometz. Of course, there's nothing chometz. Chometz about chometz, unless it's made out of grain chometz. Amar Shmuel, in halacha Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel says, we don't paskin like that, that you can use the chometz to cauterize. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Ukba. By the way, when we say that the moment that it's in mitbakea, you have to be choshesh for chimutz, it doesn't mean literally that it already cracked open. It's even if they've gotten so soft that if you would have exposed them by putting them on top of a barrel of wine, you would have exposed them to fumes of something sharp, like the fermentation of the wine, that would have caused them to be mitbakea, then it's already too soft and has allowed water in. So it doesn't mean that you can rely on whether you actually see that it was mitbakeh. Where Shmuel says, no, come on, it means mitbakeh. It means you actually see. The point over here is, did water get into it? And if there's no crack in it, then water didn't get into it. And avat Shmuel uvda bedur de bar chashu. Shmuel himself actually paskin halacha lemaisa in bar chashu town. It were a case where they had actually been malatet sorry, and it hadn't been mitbakeh. So he said, look, if it wasn't mitbakeh mamash, you don't have to worry about it. Omar Rabba. Rabba said, you know, somebody's got real, he's really, wants to be machmer on himself. A bal nefesh, he's a chassid, he's a yorei shamayim. He should be machmer on himself, and he shouldn't do letita at all. Lo yiltot. He asked, well, what do you mean a bal nefesh? And a normal person can? Kuli amanami? Didn't we just say, ein lo titim sorin bepesach? Beferish, it says you're not allowed to lechatchila do letita. It doesn't say people have a lot of yirat shamayim should not do letita. So what are you telling me? Someone who's about a chosid, yirat shamayim, it's usher. No, oh, come on, a bal nefesh. See, you thought that when we were speaking about barley, we meant an example. Since barley is usually dirty, so because of that we wash it. But the same thing would be true about chitim. But that's not true. They're two completely different things. Sa'orin are softer. And therefore, bal nefesh, afilu chitim, even chitim, which are tougher, lo yiltot, you should not do letita on chitim. Said Reb Nachman, ach, who's going to listen to you? It's ridiculous. Anybody who listens to this psak that you're not supposed to do, letita, is going to be eating filthy matzah. You can't make it clean without doing letita. Nobody's going to listen to this psak. Everybody knows that the most chomer homes used to do letita. And be rava baravin latate, v'ravama, and rava says, forget about a bal nefesh. Flat out, usher l'tot. Usher l'tot, anything? Then why did it say in the Braita, ein lo titin se'orin b'pesach? It says you're not to do lot to letita on barley. Does that not imply that that's dafka barley because barley is softer, but the membrane around wheat is tougher and therefore will protect the grain from getting water in it? Mashma chiti shari. No, says Robert, just the opposite. You're right about its being harder, but you're forgetting one little thing. The shape of the chita has a place in which the exterior of the chita connects to each other in a little crevice. That slit is not completely sealed and allows water in. Sa'orin doesn't have a slit. Sa'orin is smooth all the way up. And therefore, there's more of a chance for water to get into chitim. That's the point of what we're saying. It's lomi boikomer, not only chitim, where you've got a real problem because of the fact, even ditlet sira, since it has that slit in it, ayabu maya, water can get in there. Mashenken, you would have thought that barley, which is smooth, the chi, ema shaper dami, kamashman, even the sa'orim is asr, not only sa'orim is asr. Hadar amar Rava, and then Rava said, actually, you are allowed. It's a mistake. You're allowed to do letita. Obviously, you're allowed to do letita. Gosh, I wasn't thinking. D'tanya, it says in the Braita, Yotzin, remember we had, you're allowed to use for your matzah, Wonder Bread matzah, which is patnikia, or Health Bread matzah, hadra'a. Now, how in the world would you get Wonder Bread matzah if you didn't allow letita? There's no way to get clean, to really clean flour, unless you use letita on the grains. See, e efshar nikia below letita, and therefore I don't know what I was thinking when I said you're not allowed to do letita. Eitvei Rav Papa l'Rava. So Rav Papa asked Rava from the following halacha, which is, turns out to be very important understanding the whole concept of matzah shmura. It says if you want to buy kemach, now note carefully, kemach or solet. Now solet is only possible to make out of very finely ground flour. It doesn't have any dirt in it. Okay, so if you want to buy kemach or solet of goyim and then turn it into your Pesach dish, if you buy it, and this is not referring to Pesach, we're going to apply it to Pesach, it's referring to the question whether it's royal or kabbal tuma. If you buy it in a small town, so then there's no problem of its having been mosher or kabbal tuma. Why? Because they're not that machmir on getting it clean. They don't put it through a water wash in a small town. Yeah, whether you have a big factory in a large city, Shokrachim, there they're all put through a water wash. They're for the roi already because they were mukshir l'kabal tuma, and you have to be machmir on the tuma. Now, I ask you, how do you understand this? Obviously, Kfarim, my time. Why do we say that there's no problem of Tuma on the small town prepared Kemach? Because the Lolatate, they don't use water. Now, what did it say you were allowed to buy? Solet. Now, how the heck did you buy solet if you cannot make solet without water? Rav, I mean, you just said, it must be smutter, because how else would I get solet? And here it says, Beferish, you can make solet without water. It seems to be an impossible problem, unless, of course, we change something slightly. And Kakarila solet, and we change it very simply by Tirguma Kemach. In other words, it says Kemach v'solet of Nochrim, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the Kemach v'solet was both available in the Kvar and in the city. It could be that the part about the solet was only referring to what the din would be in the big town. And the part about the Kemach is the only thing that it was referring to in the Kfar. But I don't need to explain that to you, because you'll never find solet in the Kfar, because they don't do the detail. So therefore, we just sort of kept it simple. Anyway, after Rava walked out, Pope said, darn, I had a much better question. It's always like that. As soon as he walks out, I remember what I should have asked. My time elo ema, like, why didn't I say, Miyodim Rabbi Zerum Rabbi Yom Rabbi Shmuel? Forget about chitim shaminachot. Can't believe I didn't think of this. It says you're not supposed to do latita on the minta. Why? Because you have to be careful about chimuts. Excuse me. What type of grain do you use for mincha? Solet. How did you get solet without latita? So there you go. The Torah says solet, and we make solet without latita. And Rava decided you can't make solet without latita. Obviously, that's wrong. Vikakar la solet. In the end, Rava said, ha! I know what I was thinking. I'm an evolving opinion on this. First I said it's usher, then I said it's mutter, now I say it's a mitzvah. It's actually a mitzvah to do latita. Why is it a mitzvah to do latita? Because if the Torah says, ushmartem et ha-matzot, well, can you tell me, how do you get matzah shmura if you never expose it to water? So therefore, if you're supposed to be shomer the matzot, obviously the Torah is assuming that you're putting it through water and you're making it as nice as possible, and then you have to be careful that it shouldn't be chometz. Because if you're talking about ishibur delisha, are you suggesting that, I mean, why does it have to be latita? Obviously, ultimately, you're going to have to mix it with water, right? So maybe that's where it's called matzah shmura. At the moment that you mix the dough. Not, who's to say the grains itself have to go through latita? No, can't mean that. Shimur delisha lav shimuru, that would not be sufficient to be called matzah shmura, just because you started watching it now when you mix water into the actual flour. Because I'll prove it to you. Don't ever know, but say, if you want to buy, which is very common, it was a specialized field. Baking was a specialized field, and the preparation of doughs was a specialized field. What you could do is you could go and buy a dough. And then, you know, they caught on to this in modern times. And, of course, they turned it into frozen, obviously. And nobody's going to be able to get to a store and then take it home and bake it. But what they do now is to have fresh home-baked bread, is they sell you pre-made dough, frozen. You buy it, kineret chalot or whatever, bring it home, and now you've got fresh baked challah, which, of course, you didn't make. So over here, what they would do is they would buy the dough from the goyim and then bake it. Now, the question is, suppose you have a hechsher on the batzek of a goyim. Now you want to use it for making matzah on Pesach. And you have testimony that it was not chometz. Okay. Eat as much of it as you want, but make sure that at the end of the meal, you're going to be yotze your mitzvah with a kezias of matzah. Now, why is that? Why can't you use the bezekot of Nachrim to make the matzah right off this, right at the beginning? I mean, why not? So you see over here that you cannot use this for the chiyuv of achilas matzah with the Pesach. See? Why not? Obviously, I mean, my time, if it's perfectly kosher and you're eating it during the meal, what is wrong? Must be because the law of Abu Shimur. You apparently, it's because there was no Shmira. Now, why is there no Shmira? I brought it home and now I'm putting it in the oven. And I'll be Shemir at the Shem Matzah Mitzvah. Okay? It's obviously because that's not called Shimur. Elalab Shmamina Shimur means from the time that I begin to harvest this grain. Mikorabaina. Now, obviously, this is a pretty lousy rhyme, because I mean, what I could say is, well, of course, if you're already buying a water mixed dough and it wasn't washed l'shem matzah mitzvah, there I understand that to start washing it at the time that you're baking it is not a very good shimur. But suppose you would have started the shmirah from the time of the lisha. We're over there. The moment that you put the water into the flour, it could become chometz. And then I say l'shem matzah mitzvah at that moment, and it should be enough. So Ramban asked this question: how's the Gemara bringing a raya that you need to have shmirah from the beginning of the process by saying that shmirah on baking is not sufficient? And he explains that, look, if shmirah is just that somewhere along the way, I have to keep in mind that this is l'shem matzah mitzvah. Fine, so then shimur would work even for afiyah. If shimur means, however, that all aspects have to be done l'shem matzah mitzvah, then it wouldn't make sense for the Torah to tell me do the shimur on the lisha, because if the essence of shimur is merely to make certain that nothing has happened to these matzahs and they haven't become chometz, then that's a given. When you say to us, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us, eat matzah and make sure there's no chametz. So obviously I have to watch it to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. I wouldn't need a mitzvah to say ushmartem et hamatzot. If you're adding ushmartem et hamatzot, and that ushmartem et hamatzot is not meaningful b'shas afiyah, even though if I don't bake it quickly, it's going to become chametz. So obviously it's adding something that I would not have thought of. That thing that I'm not have thought of is that this thought that it has to be for matzah is meant all along the way. That's the point. So if once I show you that shumah doesn't help for afiyah, it makes no sense to be machadish that it's going to help only for lisha. It's got to mean more than that. That's the point. Elalav shmamina, shimur mi'ika rabbi inan, and therefore when the Torah says ushmartem et hamatzot, it means that there has been an opportunity all along the way for this stuff to become chometz. And that means even while it's kemach, or even when it's grain out in the field, the moment that it's detached from the ground, you have to start now thinking about, this is going to be used for my matzah mitzvah. So maybe that's the point. Says the Gemara, well, I mean, maybe the point is where the danger begins. Maybe that's the point. The danger begins when you know that it got wet. So we know that it got, you put water into it. The guy put water into it in order to make it into a dough. Okay. And at that point, nobody was thinking that it should be l'shem matzah mitzvah. But maybe if you don't do anything to it, you don't do l'tita, so then your mitzvah kicks in at whatever point you do put water into it. I mean, who's to say that there, therefore there's a mitzvah to be a malate because it's a shmartem et hamatzot? It just means at whatever point your personal way of doing the matzah, that you got wet, that's when you should do the shimur. And if that's the case, then Achinami shimur delisha would have been shimur. So how does Rava know that Latita is a mitzvah? But the truth is, we don't know exactly what he was thinking, but this didn't make much of an impression on him. Because halacha l'maisa, from that day on, Rava would go around telling everybody, listen, even you guys, you guys who are the ones who take the grain in the field and turn it to upside down to dry, when you do that, or others learn, the Aruch learns that it means when you put it into the sifter, the moment, from that moment on, kimavchita, hafich l'shem mitzvah. By the way, some learned that there's a machlokas whether l'shem mitzvah means, as Rashi says, l'shem matzah mitzvah, meaning dafka for the matzahs that I'm going to be eating in order to be yotzei my chiyav, or l'shem matzah, meaning the mitzvah of eating matzah during Pesach, but not, you know, not matzah for being kayim al matzah from Rome Yochlu, which they're medayek from the Rif, because the Rif just says l'shem matzah, it's l'shem matzah mitzvah. Anyway, Alma Kasava Shimur Mi'ikara, obviously, Rava did not change his mind, and he holds that the meaning of Shimur is Mitchilato V'atzofo, which is why it says on the cartons, Shomur L'Shem Matzah Mishas Yisira. And there you get your Matzah Shomur. Do not do the Tita. And the Matzah, we use whole wheat matzah. We don't use matzah that's clean. All our matzahs are dirty matzahs. As you'll notice, it's matzah hadra. We don't paskin like that, but we do paskin like the shimur.
No such thing as wonder matzah.
Again, we don't have wonder matzah.
I was looking at the top and they had a truck of
Shitar came, of a fellow came for Pasha Shmurah, he used a truck, doubles, and he came from Haifa, from the port, wherever he was from, with covered with the tenders and all that business, was pouring rain. But after I got on top of the truck, found a little hole in the canvas. Go back.
That was the end of the
hole. Oh, huge truck, he says. No Shmurah Basa.
No Shmurah Basa. My father's outside tells me that as a kid, he actually saw a big Manischewitz matzah truck that had all of the piles of sacks of flour that they were pulling into Manischewitz, and it was parked directly under a drain, a gutter pipe. All the rain was pouring directly into this Manischewitz gemach for their holy matzahs. That was the level of kashrus in those days. They didn't have a guy going up top of the truck.
Insane.
Yeah. Not as crazy. There's other stories you'll hear about kashrus. Marbre Ravina, Menaktele Ime Ba'arbe. Marbre Ravina's mommy used to be so careful that she would pick up first chitim at the actual time of the picking of the chitim. She didn't leave anything to chance. She would pick it up herself, put it into her special Pesach tikka, grind a dish, and leave it there for Pesach. That's what a good mother does for a frum child. Now, who arba techiti the tava bechishta? Now, there was this whole boat that had been bringing in before Pesach, had been bringing in grain for making kemach, and the whole thing sunk in the chishta river. And, you know, of course, the stuff floated to the surface. And so Rava was matir to sell this chitim to goyim, but not to Jews, for fear that they would use it during Pesach. So Rabba Bar Levoy asked Rava, Eitve Rabba Bar Levoy La Rava, we have a similar situation in a case where I have a beged, She'avad Bo Kilayim. You know for a fact that into the mixture of threads that was used to weave this beged, there was some thread of let's say, most of it was linen, and there was a thread of wool. And you can't find the thread of wool. Look, say now, you don't know how to get it out. So obviously, what are you going to do? You can't sell it to a Jew, but you can't sell it to a goy either. And you can't make it even a mardat lachamor. You can't make it for a blanket over a donkey, because what if somebody cuts out a little piece of that material to patch a torn beged or something? The only thing you do with it is you can make it tachrichin for a meis mitzvah. So if you're going to be making tachrichin for the meis, it's okay to use kelayim. So this was this. Why is it that loy gomash? You're not allowed to even walk by a mace with your tzitzit hanging out, because it's like you're laughing at the mate that he's not able to do the mitzvah tzitzit, only you are. So isn't this like the ultimate zilzul in the mate? Well, we can't use this kelayim, So, doesn't make any difference to you, does it? You're dead. So that seems a very much loy l'rash. The Torah says a fascinating thing. She says that the din of loy l'rash is the specifically, you come over here to tzitzit. Tzitzit is something that is a remez to kol mitzvah kula. There's a loy l'rash, because this is chatamit kol mitzvot Hashem. You guys don't need any zechira of kol mitzvot Hashem. But stam, we wouldn't say that's loy l'rash. Okay, it talks about other things as well. Just a side point. That's an interesting.
You say it's not.
I don't want to get into it. That's a side point, but I thought it was such a beautiful thing to mention. It took off a second. Okay, now. Getting back to the question that Rabbi Bar Levoy was asking Rava, now why does it say over here you can't sell it to a goy? What's wrong with selling it to a goy? I mean, obviously, my time of Olam Shem Dodam Azmin Li Yisrael, because the goy is going to represent this as something that the Jew can wear, and he'll market it in Macy's, and the Jew will go into Macy's, and we'll buy it. So how come you allowed selling this stuff that you wouldn't sell to a Jew? You sell it to a goy. What makes you think that it's not going to get into the hands of a Jew? And the truth is, Rava had charata from his psak, and in the end, Hodor Amar Rava, sell this a little bag. Sell only one per customer, one kaf per customer. That way they'll finish it for sure before Pesach. But in Okinami, to sell something that's easily, you can't see that it's chametz because it's a little green. To sell something that might easily be used on Pesach, you're not allowed to do. But Kaba, you could sell to a Yisrael, and that way, after the Kaya Kimai Pischa, you'll be certain that it will be done before Pesach. Tana Rabbana. Ein molalin et hakidera bePesach, ba'arotzeh shi'im lo, noten et hakemach, v'achar kach, noten et hachometz. You're not allowed to do and pour in the actual flour into a pot. And this would add kemach into a actual boiling soup or something, like Rashi had said before. And if you want to do that, what you do is you put in some vinegar. afterwards, and that way the vinegar, as we said earlier, prevents the chimutz from taking place. The yeshomrim, others say, it's not important. You can even add vinegar before, even though now it's mixed with the soup or whatever it is that you want to put in the flour. And that also will prevent it from becoming chometz, despite the fact that it's mixed with water. The achar kach noten et hakemach. Now, whose shita is this yeshomrim? That chometz can be put in first, and then you can add kemach, and it will not become chometz. On Rav Chista, it's Alibad Rabbi Yehuda, because we find exactly the same issue with Gabi cooking on Shabbat. Here it says in the Bright, I should say, really, the Tanya, Ha'ilfiz v'akedera she'eviran merutachim. So now you have your kli rishon. You took them off of the fire, and they're still very hot. And you did this right before Shabbos. Now you want to add some tavlin on Shabbos. So can I put in some parsley flakes? Or can I put in some dried garlic or whatever? No. You cannot. Why? Obviously because it's considered to be bishul. Because it's still a kli rishon. A kli rishon will be mavashel, something like that. Aval noten l'tocha ki'ara o l'tocha tamchui. But after it's moved out of the pot of the kli rishon and it's put into a serving pot of some kind, a ki'ara or a tamchui, that's put on the table, then it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda says it's even okay if you put it into a kli rishon, if it's not on the fire, unless there was some vinegar in it. If there was vinegar in it, or there was tzir in it, which is salty, then it will cook, even if it's not on the fire. Now, obviously, what does that mean? But according to Rav Yehuda, despite the fact that the vinegar was in the pot before you put in the tavlin, a pot that contains vinegar mixed with water is going to cook, even if it's not on the flames. So if that's the case, undoubtedly it would be Rabbi Yehuda who would say that vinegar is effective to cauterize when it comes to Pesach, that you don't have to worry about chimutz, even if it's there first and not poured directly over the mixture that you just created. Hey, why do we have to look for Hilchos Shabbos? We just had the shita of Rabbi Yossi, remember? That Rabbi Yossi said, if you have the Seorim, and you did Latita, you didn't listen to us when we said, don't do Latita, you did Latita. And now, they crack. Oh my gosh, they crack, and they're already Yossi. No, says Rabbi Yossi, you could still save the day. How do you save the day? Put them into vinegar. And the vinegar will stop the chimutz process. So that means, according to Rabbi Yossi, even if the vinegar was there before, it's a shon b'chom. Now you have to pour vinegar over it. Does that not prove that he would be the Mandi Amar who would say over here that you can be molel the kedera as long as there was vinegar in the kedera? So why did you have to look all around to find Rabbi Yossi in Masechet Shabbat? No, come on. Rabbi Yossi didn't say you could put it into a container that has water and vinegar. He says you put it into vinegar. We're looking for the Yesh Omrim that say that even if it's a soup, which is 95% water, if you had vinegar in it, the vinegar still retains its power to prevent chimutz. Where do you see Rabbi Yossi who ever said such a thing? Rabbi Yossi, always seen Rabbi Yossi, is you put it into pure vinegar. But I never saw what Rabbi Yossi would have held, Lagabi immersing something in a mixture of water and vinegar. Ula says, look, forget it. You're getting too close to being over on chometz. You can't rely on these kind of things that vinegar is going to be good enough to be tzomet and so on. You're not allowed to do it either way. Not vinegar on top, not vinegar on the bottom. The point is that generally we say, you know, lech lech, amrinan zero. Hey, no zero. You don't need to go to the vineyard, okay? Skar, the carmelotikra. Just go all the way around. Walk around. What's it to you? Another 5 minutes, you'll walk around the vineyard. Why should you expose yourself to something where you can comely day Isser? And that's basically became an idiomatic way of saying to get into a situation where you now need to worry about is the chometz going to be strong enough to defend him? Who wants to get into that kind of situation? It's best don't start. Rav Papi, Sharele Luburdiki de Beresh Galuta. Here we had these bakers in the Resh Galuta's bakery, and he allowed them to be mamacha kedera b'chasise. He allowed them to thicken the soups and things with using grain, even though we have Lachara said this before, with kimcha d'avushna, which is the kemach of avshuna, meaning that you had popped the grain before, heated the grain before, roasted the grain before, because he figured it's not going to come the day chimutz. Said Rava, who in the world would be mater doing a thing like that in a place where there's avodim? And the Resh Galuta's house is filled with hired help and avodim that are non-Jewish. They don't give a hang. You're going to be mad to them to use kemach, the afshuna. They're going to use kemach that wasn't properly afshuna, and so on. You can't be mad to that. Now, of course, there's bichlal, a problem over here. How in the world we allowed you to do this in any way if we said before that we don't do this? And Rashi said exactly the same case, L'chora. So this is a problem because of which Tosfos changes the whole thing. But first, let's just get to the Mishnah and hear the end of the story. Now, so nobody would be mad to that. Iker Yamina, others say Rava, the case was that Rava himself was matir to be machale kidra b'chassis. So he allowed them to use chassise, which again, Rashi learns is kim chadeh afde avishuna. Tosfos says, how could Rashi have said that here if Rashi uses the same words to explain the case before, and he said that it's usr, and nobody over there argued and said that it's mutter. So how would Rava have been matter doing it over here? Therefore, Tosfos learns that the meaning of chassise is not the kimcha de ifshuna. The meaning of chassise is kemach that's made out of lentils. And the only chiddush is, obviously, lentils. What's the problem with lentils? Is the problem of the Ashkenazim's issue of, you know, people are going to get mixed up with real kemach, looks the same, how people are going to know. And therefore, it's going to tell you, well, you know, you don't have to be makbid on that. Others actually learn kiddush de chassise is matzamel. It's exactly this issue. So if it's matzamel, it looks like kemach, is there a problem of using it in the kedera? So over here, Rava was matzer. Before, we were talking about real kemach that was made out of chitim, where over there there's a chashash that maybe the parching, the grains wasn't done properly. So he argues on Rashi. Indeed, Rashi is a little bit of a problem in my mind. And the obvious answer, Rashi, which the Acharonim points out, is that the case over here has to be understood as a continuation of the previous case. That he allowed them to use it where there was vinegar in the tafshil. It's not a new case where we're starting from scratch. We had been talking about meaning, I don't care if there's vinegar. So moving on, if it was also parched grain and there was vinegar, then Rav Papa was not, or maybe Rava did it himself. But that obviously is a completely different situation. Before, we were talking about using the grain directly, this type of flour of kibbutz yifushuna directly. And that's different. Sorry?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you are good old Ashkenazi. You know, they hadn't caught up to you yet. Now, there's a machlokas, by the way, among the Mefarshim in the Shulchan Aruch Guf and the Tur, about whether, when it says Ikan Yamri, does that mean that Rava changed his mind about what he had said to Rav Papa? And now he's matirid, and even in a Mokot Shricha Be'avadim? Because otherwise, like, why is it Ikan Yamri? All he had said before was, how can you matir such a thing when there's goyim in the kitchen? And then it says, well, others say that Rava himself did it. Did what? He did it himself. What did that have to do with the previous Maimer? Just another story. So because of that, actually the Beis Yosef learns that it means that according to this version, Rava was matir even when there were goyim in the kitchen. And it's a machlokas actually halacha l'maisa, whether you can be semech amid or not. Ain shorin et amursan tarnagolim avocholtin. Aisha lot ashret amursan shetolich biyad ala merchatz avo shafai bifsara yavesh. Lo yilos adab chitim yaniach al gabi makato mipnei shein mach mitzot. Tanrapa. Elu devarim shein baim lidei chimotz. Once it's afui or mevushal or chalut shechalto berotchin mevushal are mevashalei mechamea. Amr of papa afui shebishloka amar. But that's only if udavi tip tip, which means tip ladi tip. Amr devei Rabbi Shila vatika shori. What? Vatani vatika asira. No kasha. Ade avira b'mishkol milcha. Where it's not mechametz, v'adati b'maya v'milcha. Amar marzutra lo limchin ishkidra b'kimcha de'amishna, dilma lo bashel shapir v'ati lidei chimutz. Amar v'yosef lo lichlot inish even treichiti b'ali hadadi. Because dilma az v'chod aviyat v'bitziri de'chaverta. And then lo salar to dikula d'maya mi'ar beruchata. In which case, ati lidei chimutz. V'yom rabbi, lo lichlot inish even treishibuli without water b'ali hadadi. If that's the case, at all. And in the end, the Bayat Harota, but for another reason. Because kol agav midlayu lo machmitzah, you know, because Abai himself paskins that even a chatzva davishna, which is a chifa and allows the liquid that's coming out of the grains to pour out the bottom, is shori. It's only if it's a kifa that it's awesome. Rav Amar feels a kifa is mutter because the whole thing is made pirot and made pirot in an machmitzah. Tana Rabbanan, Ein lo tetin saorin bepesach, v'im lo teten, nitbaku asurot, lo nitbaku mutarot. Rabbi Yossi Omer, even if they're nitbaku, you can stop the process by being shorad bechometz, and then the chometz is subtan. Omer Shmuel, Ein alak, Rabbi Yossi. Omer Chista, Omer Marukba, lo nitbaku, literally, elokol she'ilu menichan, at this point, al pi chavit of yayin, and they would be mitbakot by exposure, that's enough. Shmuel on and on, mitbaku means exactly what it says. Ovat Shmuel uv de bedur de bebar chasho, mitbaku means mitbaku mamish, and less than that it's butter. Omar Rabbi, I could tell you that a bal nefesh shouldn't be malate. What do you mean a bal nefesh? Nobody should be malate. It just said, Atanya ain lo tetin tzorin bepesach at all. Hogikama. Bal nefesh shall be malate any grain, even chitin, which are shrire lo yiltot. Omar Rabbi, ach, who's going to listen to psak like that? Matzayetli la'aba. Anybody who does, Othel Nahamadi Pusha. It's going to be rotten matzahs. So, Beiravun in latete, Beirava Barav in latete. And Rava says, no, Asur l'latot. So how do you explain the fact, Hadatanya ain lo tetin sorim with the Pesach? Doesn't that mean Davka sorim? Udalo? Achiti shori? No, it says Rava, it's the opposite. Lo mi boi kama. Lo mi boi chiti. Where over there I understand that there's Syria, and therefore the water gets into it. But sorim, which are shi'i, and they're very smooth all the way up to the top, maybe shaper dami. Kamash malan, that even that is asur. Then Rava changed his mind and he said, actually, it must be mutter. The Tanya Yotzin bepatnikiya vehadra'a. How would you get patnikiya without letita? Eitver of Papa Rava, what do you mean, how? It says, beferisha, kemachim ha-salatot shel nochrim, shel kvarim torim shel krachim tmeim. Now, why do you think kvarim is not a problem of being mukshel kabel tumah? Obviously, because it's not exposed to water. Why not? And nonetheless, it says you can buy solet. So obviously, you get solet without vatita. Well, maybe the part in the kvarim was only going on kimcha. Anyway, after Rava walked out, he said, "Oh heck, my time Elohim lemi adam Rabbi Zera Rabbi Yom Shmuel chitin shal minachot ein lo tetim otam." But the only thing you can have from mincha is solet. Hold on, my Rava. Oh, I don't know what I was thinking. Actually, it's a mitzvah to do latita. What would you need the shimur for? I mean, for lisha? Shimur delisha? Shimur delisha is not called shimur. The omer of una betzekot shel nochrin adam emalei kresomi and bevat shiochel kezayit matzah ba'achrona, which is davke ba'achrona, b'brishona lo. My time on mishum delo avi be shimur. Why not? Go make the shimur now when you bake it. So lovely shimur me'afia ve'elo. Ela lav shmam, you know, that shimur means shimur me'ikora. I mean, why? Maybe shimur just means from whatever point that it gets wet. So the mashani had to be the nachit the shimur loved la shimur, but ech to be the nachit the shimur loved la shimur. Whatever point that is, maybe achinami the shimur lelisha would be shimur. But the truth is, despite this objection, lo harabe rava, because Rava said lahana demapchi kipi ki maapchi to afir l'shem mitzvah. Amakasova shimur miikara has to be mitkilato v'atzofor b'yam. Margaret Ravina minak to leime ba'arve. Alu arba dechita detava bechista. Shar yarava lizvinin lenochra. Meitvei rabba barli voel rava. How is it mutter to sell it to a goy? In a case of a beggar shavad bo kilayim areza loyim kredin lenochri. Loya sebo mardad lechabor. The only thing you could use it for is a tachrich make mitzvah. So my time alone, it must be because the nochri alone, love mishum, God, I'm asking Yisrael. Okay, you're right. Lizvaninu kaba kaba liyisrael, and that way for sure it'll be finished before Pesach. Tana Rabbana. Ein molalina takidei rabbe Pesach, harotzeh sheim lo notena takemach, v'achar kach notena takchometz. V'yesh omrim, even if you put chometz in first, and then notena takemach. Who's the yesh omrim? Om Rav Chisda, well that's Rav Yehuda from Shabbos over there. It's talking about an ilfas, a keder that was on the fire. You take it off the fire right before Shabbos, there's still merutachim. You're not allowed to add tavlin on Shabbos, but once you take the cholent out and put it into a serving container, like a kara or a tamkui, then it's not a problem. Then you can go ahead and put in the spices. Rav Yehuda Omer, lakolunote. You can even put it into a kli rishon, unless the soup had some vinegar in it or tzir in it. But it's obviously yod that it's mufashal. It's a nukba kribiosi, because didn't we say before Rabiosi and Bashon Bachomet Fachomet sometime? Yes, but Kashmir Rabiosi, that was into pure vinegar. Anamidal de to be ane. Avalayade ta'arovet? He never said it. Ulamar echad zev yechad zev asur mishum lech lech amrina nazira. Schor schor lech. Lekarma la tikra. Rav Papi sharele leburdi kideveresh galuta lemamache kidera bechassisi. Omar Rava. What? Okay, today's daf is daf mem, and we were holding on the last line of Lamatet Amud Bet. So the last thing we had was the discussion of whether Kimcha Da'avishna was perhaps not properly cooked before it was turned into Kemach, and therefore in exposing it to water it would become Chametz. Amr Rav Yosef, further to the same issue, Lo lichlot inish trechi tibi hadi adadi dim azlechot aviyat vabitzir de chadarata. Velo salik lo dikula de maya miar baruchah, ta vati lede chimutz. If you're doing chilut on raw chitim, because the chita has a slit in it, if you have two chitim, so one chita may cover the slit of the other chita, in which case the hot water won't get directly into that chita on all four sides, and eventually the part that wasn't heated completely will be bali dechimut. Omar Abaye, furthermore, in the same issue, lo lichroch inish trei shibuli b'hadi adadi, you shouldn't have two shibalot together. Dilma nafik maya, you can grab a seat anywhere where you're comfortable. No. And there should be one gemara, actually. Oh. So if you have two separate shibolim, there's another problem, which is, if you're going to heat them, you know, we're not talking about pouring water on them. You're going to heat them, so the heat causes, you're roasting them. The roasting causes liquid to come out of the chita. But what happens if the liquid that comes out of chita A is absorbed by chita B? And now chita B becomes a chometz from it. We're going to say that. Then why not say the same thing about a single chita? You're going to heat it. You'll heat it unevenly. Water will come out of the top, be absorbed in the bottom, and then the end of the problem anyway, because any liquid that exudes from a chita is meperot, and meperot, as we saw before, are not mechametz. And the truth is that Abaye, for other reasons, Abaye himself had charata from his din of not roasting together, because we find that Abaye paskins to call agav midlayu lo machmitzi. Anything that is exuded in the context of heating is not going to be machmitz. Forget about the meperot issue. Because we see that he paskins, how do we know that he had charata about this? The Omer Abaye, hay chatzva de avishna sechifa shari zekifa asur. You have a container in which you were roasting. Now you have heat all around this container. So if the container is facing upwards, or any liquid remains in the container, then you got a problem. Because he holds that we're going to be choshish even for the meperot of the chita. However, on the tzad that it was held upside down, out of the screen, and that way any liquid would escape, then it would be mutter. Why? Because the only time that you would find liquid in it is while it's in the process and not being heated. That liquid is not going to be absorbed by one end of a chita or another chita and aser it. So for another reason, lemaisa, he wouldn't have been marketed. Rava amar afilu zekif anami shari. And of course, rava l'shitato holds. What's the difference? Even if the liquid would gather in the container, there'd still be no problem. Because it would be meperot. Meperot iranu achmitzim. Tana Rabbanan, in lotkin se'orim bepesach, as we saw earlier, we have a problem of latita. Latita means that we expose the grain to water. That way we're able to wash off much better any of the dirt and the remaining bran and the pieces that are surrounding the actual grain. And here, sa'orin have a real problem with that dirt. There was a note to be lotate sa'orin. And here the Gemara says, sa'orin is a problem to be lotate. Ve'im latat, if you did expose them to water to wash them off, then if nitbaku, if the grains actually swell to the point that they cracked, then asurot. Malon nitbaku mutarot. Rabbi Yossi says, even if they were nitbaku, what you can do is, shoran bechomets, you put them into directly into vinegar, and the vinegar cauterizes them, bechomets somtam, and prevents any further chimutz. Now, Mashmuel ain't alachak Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel holds we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and you cannot rely on cauterization. I'm exposing it to chimutz. So the tzomet, it's called tzomtam, tzomet, is not considered to be reliable to prevent it from becoming chometz. Omer of chistam marukva, lo nitbaku mamash, when we say over here that they're asurot, if they were nitbaku, the grains, if they broke open, doesn't mean literally they had to complete the process of breaking open. If you would put them on a wine barrel, and at this point there would be enough power in the pungency of the wine to cause them to crack, actually Rabbi Natan has another gears here completely. If you put them on top of the avuv that you're roasting the grains, so avuv shaklayot, which we use for the omer, and they would immediately crack themselves without further exposure, so then that already is the equivalent of nitbaku. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no, nitbaku means nitbaku mamash, because what we're talking about is the amount of water that would have gotten into a grain, which is tough. It's hard, it doesn't easily become chometz before it's ground into a flour. And therefore, if it hasn't actually been nitbakea, then it means you don't have sufficient water in there. You don't have a problem. In fact, Avat Shmuel Lufta Bedura the Bar Chashu, nitbaku mamash, Shmuel was makel to rely in this town that was owned by Bar Chashu, a little village, in a case where the grain had not been nitbakea, and he was makel to say the only time we have a chashash, if it's nitbaku mamash. Omar Rabba, Baal Nefesh Lo Yiltot. Someone who has chashash for his own soul and doesn't like to think of it burning, you know. So such a person will not be lotate, because there's always a chashash of vayli de chimutz. You understand? I thought we just said anybody has to worry about litut. So my hire Baal Nefesh, Avil Kulu Amin Hami? It's straight out of Asur, isn't it? Dotanya in Lotin Saurin Bepesa. Okay, come on. No, what Rabba was saying, that a Baal Nefesh, Afil Chitin, which are shariri, they're much tougher grains, and they are less likely to become chametz by exposure to water, that even chitim, a bal nefesh, will not be lotate. Somebody who listens to Rava is going to end up eating dirty matzah. What is this business already going to be? Machber, not to be lotate, chitim. And then what's going to happen is we're going to have all that dirt in the flour. Who wants to eat matzot like that? Because we know for a fact that beiravuna latate, or beirava baravin latate, all I know is in some of the best homes in Israel, they do litut of chitim. They have very nice matzot. Rava amar, asur liltot. How do you explain the fact that in the bright that says we don't do latita at saorin? Isn't that mashma? Then on chitin you can. So how can Rav say straight out it's osur when the most that we said before was that a bal nefesh will be machmir according to Rav? So we got three shitot: mutar, bal nefesh, machmir, and then Rav comes along. So that would be actually miikra did it's asur. What about the fact that the bright only said saorin? Saorin hudalo hachite is shori. No, on the contrary, says Rav. Lo mi boy ka amar, lo mi boy. In other words, it's not saying that. So it's saying even sorry. Lo mi boy chit. It's all very nice. The chitin is a very dry and tough grain, but you also notice it has that little slit down the middle. The slit down the middle allows water in. Sorin don't have, they have a smooth covering over the grain. So you might think that would be enough to protect them from water. So what it's saying is lo mi boy chit is given that chitim is a problem. Given the itbeit sairi, ayalei b'umaya, over there we're going to have penetration of water through the slit in the grain. Avosare d'shi. On the other hand, we have saurin, they're smooth all around. And over there you might have thought, ema shapritami, perhaps that's okay. Kamash Malan, that no, even Saorim is not okay. But according to Rava, Chitim is for sure not okay. We never were thinking even about being Matachir. The fact is, Adarama Rava, Rava changed his mind. And he said, Mutar Liltot. Actually, you can do Latita. Must be you can do Latita. Tanya, Yotzin Bepatnikiyava Adra. And we said before that you can be Yotze your Matzot either with health bread or with clean bread. How would you get clean bread without Latita? The EFSHA Nikiyava, no Latita.
So obviously, if you're eating bread, matzah, and that's clean, it must have been cleaned with water, because you can't really wash out the dirt unless you use water. You just came to a conclusion that you cannot get clean kemach unless you've used water to clean the grain. How do you explain the fact that when it comes to the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, we're over there, what is our concern? We're not talking about chometz. Over there, our concern is exposure to water. If it's been exposed to water, so then we have a problem of hechsher. And here it says, if you're going to buy kemach and solet, now solet obviously is very clean, you're going to buy solet from nochrim, where you don't know whether it was exposed to water or not. If you buy it from the kvar, it's tahor. Whereas you buy it in the big cities, it's tamei. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Shagrachim tameim. So there's only one explanation for this. The kvar in my time alav, why is it that there's no problem of tumah? Lav mishum delolatete. They're not that makbid on cleanliness in the kvarim. So they don't do the litur. They skip that stage. And nonetheless, what did it just say you're allowed to buy? Solet. So obviously you could still have solet without the tita. If you regard it as solet, well, so we'll have to explain that. Terguma akimcha. That must have just been referring to the kemach stuff. So even though it puts it together with solet, it wasn't referring to the difference between the kvarim. Ooh. And when he walked out, for God's sake, my time of the way, he got out of that one. I could have said, as usual, I always remember after you walk out, but I could have had a killer of a question. Never would have gotten out of this one. Why didn't I ask him? Yodim Reb Zera, Reb Yirmiyahu, Reb Shmuel. Chitin shel minachot ein lo tetim otam. V'kakar lo solet. You don't have a bigger need for solet than for chitim that are used for the minachot. And yet it says over there, there's no latita because of the chimetz problem. And yet it's clearly solet. And he would never have gotten out of that question. Oder Amar Rava, actually, in the end, Rava came around to say, not only would it be okay, actually it's a mitzvah lilto. Why is, how do I know it's a mitzvah? Shinema. Shamartem et ha-matzot. What does the Torah mean when it says that you have to eat matzah shmura? Shmura at what point? Eat a load, boy, letita, shimur lamai. Why would the Torah say, shamartem et ha-matzot? Shamartem from what? From shedim. What exactly are you watching them for? Obviously, in context of matzah, the only thing to do shmira on is where there's a problem of water. Okay, so where's their problem of water? Where's the shmira? If we're talking about shimur delisha, then maybe shamartem et ha-matzot means davka from the time that you've put in water and now you're making dough. Shimur delisha lav shimuru. That's not called the shimur that you're going to have matzah shmura. How do I know? The Amar Rav Huna b'tzekot shel nochrim adam nemalei kresomim ubilvat sheuchal kizayit matzah ba'achrona. Ba'achrona im rishona lo. It says over here, you're going to walk into, you can imagine how it is. You know, walk into the Geisha bakery in town, you understand? It's Pesach, but you know, I mean, they bake fast, so there's no problem with chometz, is there? But you can't use that for your matzah mitzvah. Why? Because even though it's not chometz, that's not quite enough. I mean, you need to have the shmura. So what are you telling me about really my time, huh? Yishum de lo avibu shimur. Apparently because no shimur was done. They're making it without shimur. So let me ask you, why don't you have... No, this is shimur from chometz. We're starting now with a very interesting issue. Obviously, this is very nogea. What do matzah shmurot mean? When we say matzah shmura, we say matzah shmura means that it shouldn't become chometz. That's matzah. That's not matzah shmura. On the other hand, if it would mean shmira lishma, what the check shmira lishma exactly? What's it? You're going to say, Chol of Yisrael has to be l'shem mitzvah Chol of Yisrael. All you want to make sure is that there's no horse milk in it. So you're telling me you're doing the shmira. So, I mean, to be shemer matzot, it has to be in context of chilutz. No, what else does shimur mean? What are you going to say? I'm going to watch it while people are being kotzeret. So I should say l'shem matzah mitzvah b'shas k'tira. What exactly would that mean? Unless there's some possibility of chilutz. So indeed, in terms of the actual inyan of shmira, there is a concept of lishma, but it's got to be shmira lishma. Shmira lishma would mean from something. To be shomer means from something, not that the asiya is lishma. Correct. So you need a combination of two factors. That was, you need to know that you're able to watch it from chimutz, and that watching should be done with shame, the utilization for the mitzvah. But to say, stam, I'm looking at it, I'm going to say, what, I hereby dub the holy matzot, what would be the point in that? So if you're telling me that shmira mishat lishat would be sufficient, then what's the problem of the Goyesha bakery? Why can't I just go in there? Just saying, what, you don't know where this came from. So what if I don't know where it came from? I go in there and I announce, look, we're doing the magic Hashgacha here, l'shem matzah mitzvah, and as they're sitting there making the cookies and putting it into the oven, or maybe they're even still making the dough fancy with the little designs, I say l'shem matzah mitzvah. So then I have now an early shimur, and not only can we eat it because of nochshash of chimut, we should be able to eat it for the matzah. So clearly, says Rav, it must be that shimur at that point is useless because because the Shemirah had to start earlier. Let me say, listen, I didn't do Shemirah from early on. Now, why would I have to do Shemur from early on? If there's no exposure to water until the time that I actually begin making the dough, and you're telling me that from the dough wouldn't count, v'horaya, I can't just walk into the Goyish bakery and say, l'shem matzah's mitzvah. So clearly, there's got to be somewhere in the process that there's an exposure to water. And the Torah is taking that for granted, that early on in the process, there's a requirement for Shemur, and it's telling me, do that Shemur l'shma. It's not enough to find out that it wasn't chametz. It's even though I could do a chemical analysis and discover there's no microorganisms in it, that wouldn't help because there was no Shemur l'shem matzah that was done. So therefore, it must be that that early stage is what? It's got to be latita. So my time, lav mishum. Sorry, skip. So why don't we do lav et l'shimur ma'afil avelach? Lav shemur mina shimur mi'ikora v'inan. And that shimur mi'ikora may mean latita. So apparently, it's a mitzvah to do latita. When else would it be exposed early on to water?
Is this a clarification or different lishma than the nazir?
You mean Lachmi Tosa?
Yeah, before that wasn't a Nazir would count, but had he had denied it, would be permitted, would be revised.
Yeah, but that didn't say from when. We weren't talking about from when. Here we're trying to prove from what point.
So this is more clarification. Yeah.
For sure, of course, yes, indeed. So, Esther Gemara, how do you know? Who's to say that that's the reason? Maybe the point over here is because we might. In the bakery, you're saying walk into the bakery while they're putting the stuff, doing the last touches, but the last touches is not sufficient. Because the first moment that they added water to the flour, you weren't there to do Shimur. So you're telling me, but I know it couldn't be chametz because I was only 2 minutes ago. That's not the point. The concept of Shimur is from the moment that there would be an exposure to water. So if it's exposed to water at that point, then nobody was Shimur. What you're telling me is, but I know. But knowing isn't Shimur, correct? The fact that you know means you looked in a video camera, or you did a chemical analysis. But that doesn't count for Shimur Lishma. So it may well be that it would have been sufficient to do Bishat Lisha, but it would have to be from the beginning of the Lisha, not somewhere while the dough is in the bakery. And that may be why it's saying that it's insufficient if you buy in a Goyish bakery, that it's insufficient to go ahead and to actually use it for your matzah.
This is assuming that everything else regarding being
kosher. Yeah, kosher is not the issue. Again, this is a complex point. It says V'shamartem et ha-matzot, which we understand cannot mean simply make sure that it's not chametz, because that's a given in the definition of the word matzah. What do you have to tell me? And be careful. What do you mean, be careful? I mean, obviously, you told me not to eat chametz. I'm being careful. And that's the point of any mitzvah. You're going to give me a separate mitzvah on any mitzvah, and be careful. I mean, in a sense, we do. We say, v'shamartem et ha-matzot means v'shamartem et ha-mitzvot. That there's an idea of zrizut, and so on. But the simple meaning of the pasuk is, add a level of shimur, from which we understand, that I need to have in mind that that is my focus. And that's what shimur really means, because shimur, besides the idea of actually watching, has in it the additional concept of protection, to treasure something, take care of it, right? When we want to say, keep Yerushalayim clean. So what do we say? Shimur ircha nikiyah. Right? So what does that mean? It means to keep. Is a different sense of simply make sure it doesn't happen. To keep means to feel that you want to protect something.
Cherish.
Very good. Anybody whose head is a lobbing downward will be captured permanently on film in that position. And we will then put up a beautiful display in the Beit Midrash. That's right. That's right. That's right. Air California, right? Yeah. Air California did the same thing once, back in California. They caught Barney on a classic Barney pose. And it was published. I think they actually focused on you, right?
Yeah.
the great attention of the lecturers. That's a good point. Okay. All right, so here we get into a complex issue. Therefore, what I'm explaining to you is that the shimur clearly is more than a shimur keneged chametz. It's got to be a shimur for matzah. But a shimur from what? If there isn't an element of shmir in the literal sense from chimutz, then what am I doing when I'm doing a shmir l'shem matzah? You understand? So we need both elements. That's what Rava is saying. If there's no problem of exposure to water earlier, then how could there be a concept of shimur l'shma? That's the problem. Therefore, says Rava, it must have been. Being as you're telling me that exposure at the time of making the dough is not enough. So what else could it have been? Had to have been Letita. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Because if you had been there from the moment that they put the water in, then that's the moment that you need the Shimur. But you're talking about walking into the bakery sometime in the process. But sometime in the process, it's too late for Shimur, because now, what are you doing? You're starting to watch now? Why did you watch when it was no gay? What do you mean when it was no gay? But I had a video camera. But the video camera isn't Shimur. It's just information. So it's the combination of the two issues that gives us our din of matzah Shimur. Now, obviously, this is extremely no gay halakha here. Because if Rava is claiming that you need Shimur early on, so then that means that Shimur matzah has to begin from the time of the Ketzira, perhaps, right? If it's not the Latita. And we go back, we don't do Latita. So that means the Shimur would begin because of the sugi before that, you have to be careful that the chitim aren't exposed to water, even as chitim, even when they're already no longer required the ground at the time of the harvest. It's unbelievable. Which is, of course, whence comes our chumrah, that we are makbid. Everybody's become makbid now, it's a matter of course. It used to be a bal nefesh, now everybody's a bal nefesh. We see the great aliyah in the darga, is that everybody has a bal nefesh, has to be makbid on Shmura Matzah from the Shavtzira. Although I must tell you that the poskim say, be very careful not to be makabel that on yourself as a chiyah, because then if you once can't get Shmura Matzah, you're going to be stuck, because you'll think that it's really the halacha and so on. Although they also say, if you're in that position, a simple charota helps. Because it wasn't much of a Kabbalah anyway. No, that's also an interesting question, which we'll see as the sugya develops. So far, we're talking about Laila Rishon. We're assuming Laila Rishon. But the truth is that mashma'ut from many poskim is that Shimur is on the Cheftza mat, not necessarily for matzot mitzvahs, but we'll see. Anyway, so from here, l'chora, you don't have a raya, because Aval Hefet beat enough of a Shimur. Had you, in fact, watched this from the first moment, but you put the water in, then maybe that would have been perfectly all right. So who's to say that Sha'at Letita is what we're referring to? Truth is that even though we're unable to prove it, because we just showed Rava his Raya is wrong, Rava didn't have Karata from his Tzak that you need to have Shimur all the way from the beginning. Because the Amanu Lahana the Mahakhi keeping, actually, Rava said even to the workers that he had in the field that were picking up right after they cut down the shibolim, so he told them, if you're going to make a pile, giving mahapich the omarim still, to tie them together into those little packages, that you should be careful, ki mahapchito hafichu l'shum mitzvah. Have in mind that you're actually making this pile l'shum mitzvah, because even now, we have to be concerned that maybe this, by the way, is a question. Here, there's two girsaot. L'shum mitzvah or l'shum matzah? If it's l'shum matzah, then it's not l'gei matzat mitzvah. With where we begin this sugya. That it's a din in the description of what matzah is, rather than the mitzvah of achilat matzah on the Laila Rishon. That's why some people are makbid the entire Pesach of matzah shmura. So anyway, alma kasava shimur mihikara mitchilatov ad sofo bina. It appears clear that he holds from the first moment at which there would have been some type of effect that would have been caused by water, at that point that you need to have Shimur. Marbere de Ravina, actually, Marbere de Ravina had a very nice mommy who was careful that he would only eat real matzah shmura, and she was mankitela ime ba'arbe. She would select from the beginning of the katsir, select the chitim, put it aside into a special container, which she would do Shimur on the whole time. Now, that's a mother for you. Who arba chitim to tava bechishta? Now, there was a maisa in the river Chishta, where a boat that was carrying all of the chitim, actually not a very good thing for before Pesach, they recovered those packages of chitim. But now there was a problem, and so there's still time before Pesach. Maybe there was 2 weeks before Pesach and so on. So Shari, Rava, there's one and an offering. Rava said, look, sell it to Goyim, because what happens if people buy too much? It'll be left over for Pesach. You'll never know. Eisli Rabba Barli Voi La Rava. How can you say to sell it to Nochrim? Does it not say that Begech Avadbo Kilai, Arezeloyim Kareno Lenochri? You cannot sell it to a Goy, because undoubtedly, as we'll see, because we're afraid he'll turn around and sell it to Yisrael. Veloya Sebo Mardat Lechamor. You can't even use it as a Mardat on a Chamor, because that may be used to warm or to take threads from on your own Begech. Avalosimo Tam Tachrichin Lamek. You can, however, make Tachrichin, because Tachrichin are Asur Bahana'a, once they're used for a mate. So Lenochri, my time alone, ask you, why can't you sell to a guy? What's the Akvot of Kilai? Love me, Shum Dodom Hazbin Li Yisrael. So then, isn't it because he'll turn around and sell it? So, how can you sell this grain to a guy who may then go ahead and sell it, turn it around? Rava actually accepted that, and he said, okay, you're right. Odorama Rava, Lesveninu Kaba Kaba, even the Yisrael, most learned, even the Yisrael, can sell it Kav by Kav. In other words, you make a special sale and say, only one package per family. And that way you know that they'll finish it up before Pesach.
I mean, Isn't there a robe? I mean, robe, most things that a boy has, he does not substitute. Especially if he's in a place doctor, he's in a place where a robe go in.
Right, but the point of it is, if you're going to sell commercial, the case of our comments, you're going to sell commercial qualities to the guy, quantities to the guys.
You have to assume. In America, most commercial qualities of chametz goyim sell to a Jew. Certainly a robe they don't sell to a Jew. A robe goyim, most things they don't sell. You know he's going to sell the cloud before Kasach. Plus you have a robe. Most things he sells to goyim. Same thing by Shabbos. I'm going this week. I'm going sitting in Kansas City. What Shabbos there? He's going to sell. Most people are going. Most things he sells are to
going. What kind of
shashas?
Oh, no, it's a good question. I can't tell you why we wouldn't rely on
the role
for this.
Well, it goes the opposite way. I mean, because, look, the boy gets all the stuff. He sells it to Macy's, and most Jews robe over the time.
Yeah, but he's saying if he's not. That's also true. But why isn't robe a factor? He's asking. In many other issues, robe is a factor in terms of whether you'd be able to eat something that you find on the street. I mean, so why isn't this at least as reliable?
Huh? But the majority of the things that Jews buy in such a place come from going. He wants to change the robe.
Maybe I'm saying he's saying why doesn't the Gemara view robe as a factor? That's a very good question. I mean, very often in questions issues like this, we say im robe sofrim, and so on and so forth.
I
would think it would be raised. And it is even a single item here. I mean, it's a beggar shavat bokilayim. It's a single item. We're afraid he's going to turn around.
Well, not the chametz, though.
Chametz could be in quantity.
Well, that's
that's right. But it's actually machlokas. I don't understand the sugya. When Rava says sell it to Yisrael, some learn it means even and some mean only. Because since it's not in quantity, so then if I sell it to a goy, it should also be fine. But that seems to relate to this question, whether commercial quantity is the issue.
Doesn't Rava just work to take something out of the safek? If you've got a safek, you use Rava to remove the safek.
Yes, but there's also a concept of that ein marzik in Israel chatchila. In other words, you haven't entered yet into a problem. You're trying to create a problem. Why create a problem? Are you going to say somehow or other this is going to get to a Jew? Why? I think it's a very good point. The Gemara never brings up the question of rov in this context. I'm not sure why. I'll try to research. Okay, to be continued. So what happened? So Rava agreed. Oh, Rava, there's been no kaba kabbali Yisrael. Okay, the kaya kami pischa. Make sure that it's finished before Pesach. Turn around and now over here we have the problem we said earlier. You cannot thicken a tafshil by adding even kimcha tafshuna, where you had actually roasted the chitim before, because we're afraid maybe the roasting wasn't done so well. You were saying you can't add, even though it's going to be boiled, you can't add because we're afraid in the interim it's going to become chametz. So there's no way to thicken your tafshil unless rotzeshi. What you could do is you could put in some kemach and then pour vinegar over it. If you pour vinegar over it, this is even though there's water here, if you pour vinegar over it, you are going to be cauterizing the chametz. We said before, it's tzomate. If you're tzomate, there's no problem of chimutz. Others say, pour in the chometz first, and then pour in the kemah. It's also good. Man yesh omrim, who would the shita be going? According to Omer Chista Rabbi Yudi, the tzana ilfis vakidera, sheheviran merutachin, lo yitain latochan tavlin, avon notain latocha ki'ara, o latocha tamchui, Rabbi Yudi, omer lakola notain chutz bidavar, sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir. So here we're talking about the problem of Shabbos. You took something off of a fire. So now it's no longer on the Eish itself. Can you put in Tavlin? Says you review it, you could even put in Tavlin, despite the fact that it's a Kli Rishon. But if there's any kind of chometz in it, then you're in trouble. Why? Because then it'll immediately cook it. So in other words, it's Rav Yehuda Shita, that if you've got chometz in something, that it's going to cook. There you go. Well, that's exactly what we said. In Pesach, of course, this would work in the opposite direction. For Shabbos, it would be usher. For Pesach, it would be mutter. Because it means that it immediately destroys the ability to chometz. It kills the microorganisms. That's it. There's no way for it to become chometz. It must be this Rav Yehuda Shita. Ask the Gemara, didn't we have the Farish a moment ago, Rabbi Yossi Shita, which was that you could always put, if you had chitin that were exposed to water, so it said, put them in the chometz. And then the chometz will cauterize them, right? So why didn't we just say it's going according to him? Venuk mak Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shoran bechometz, bechometz sumtan. What was Rabbi Yossi talking about? Into pure vinegar. Here we're talking about putting vinegar into a tafshil, which has water in it, to use the contents of the vinegar in the tafshil to be tzomate the kema. Who's to say you could do that? I understand that if it's just plain, it's animally, I understand if the chometz is there, 100% chometz. Aval ayadei tarovet lo, we never saw Rabbi Yossi saying the tarovet was sufficient. Ulo amar, echadzev yechadzev asur, you don't use any kind of mixing, even though you put the chometz first, but the the chometz. It's like, I don't care what you do. This is just too much of a kula. Mishum lech lech amrina nazira. Schor schor. The karma latikare. When we tell a nazir who's getting close to the winery, go around the other way, Mr. Nazir. We don't like you getting too close to the winery. Okay, so that's the idea of a year. I mean, well, you're going to now start pouring it in. You're going to make sure you put it in the chometz. This already is getting way too close for comfort. Rav Papi, by the way, nowadays, where, when I say nowadays, I'm talking about in terms of the poskim. The poskim say nowadays that we use water power. So in the time of the Gemara, they didn't use water power milk. They used animal power milk. In which case, there was a, what do you mean? South Africa, they don't have the animals walking around in a circle and grinding the grain in the middle?
No,
what did you Oh! This is our liberal. Remember, when he left, it was still apartheid. Why would we waste animals? Okay, wait. So if we have either animal power or people power, as they point out, but water power that he used. Therefore, Rava was saying, so at what point would there be an exposure to water early on, if not Latita? But the poskim that you were using in Europe, water power, actually say, well, once you have water power, so now you have to be choshesh, that water may splash into the mill, and then maybe some of the grain that's being ground would be exposed to water. So at that point, you would have to do shmira, mishas the trina, because the trina of the grain itself would be the time at which it might get wet. So at whatever point, in the process, there might be an exposure to water, it makes sense to do shimur. Scott has a suggested solution to Aaron's question.
This is a possibility. If we suspect, the goy might find out the Jew is selling it because the Jew is not allowed to have it. If we suspect that he might dafka want to sell the Jew, wouldn't that take it out of the field of rov? If someone wants to dafka do something, that rov doesn't apply.
Why would he would suspect that you bedafka?
In other words, he's selling, why, you might ask why he's selling, why he's selling it to the other people, why he's selling at a low price. You know, maybe the price itself might infer that he needs to get rid of it, the Jew can't have it. Therefore,
so he'll do
he might want to dafka sell to a Jew, and that would take it out of rov.
This is a psychological analysis. No, you never know.
How is it with Tita in the mind of the Gemara precisely different than the Kvisa that we do that use today, not that sure the barley?
We don't use that for matzah. The Kvisa we do today is actually on the ground grain, not only on the grain itself. Ground grain. Here we're talking about exposing the grain. Nowadays they actually wash the flour. So it's real fun.
Latita precisely is they poured water onto the grain.
Right.
How long was it on the grain? Was it really the
Should be. I mean, that was the Gemara's chashash. That question is Nogea Barnea's favorite piece, which is if the Omer was Savur, does that mean it's Savur or Tzibur? Remember that Gemara? So if it was Savur that the water would run right out, some were saying over there, the Pirashi is dope at that, though. But it doesn't matter. Even it runs right out. But the chashash is that obviously it's instantaneous. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Just enough to pour over and get everything off, which is why they used to use it.
Okay. And today what they do is they...
Also, it's very, very fast. The water's sprayed, and that brings out everything that's dirty. And then it's dry. And it's air dry. But the problem is that nowadays you have to assume that the flour is real chametz. That's why we don't even allow flour in our rishus.
They wash the grain and then they put flour.
Rav Papi allowed the bakers that would work in the Resh Galuta to use the kimcha dov shuna, is what Rashi learns, for clearing out their pots and their thickening. And obviously that would run. Tosfos says if you're going to learn this, talk about kimcha dov shuna. So then this is connected to Gemara earlier. Doesn't like that shot. Why would we make a machlokas? So he learns that it's talking about a kemach that has adashim in it, which usually is not mischametz right away. Omar Rava, Ika the Shorik, Al Milsa Beducht, the Shricha Avde? You're kidding. Somebody would be matir something some close to chimutz, where by the Reish Galuta nobody ever did anything. They always used nannies to raise their kids or to bake their matzahs. How can you use this? Would be like being matir in South Africa or something. There's no Jews ever come in contact with anything over there. So Mimela, it should be definitely awesome. Igri Amri, however, there's another version which holds that Rava himself was Machile Kedera Bechasise. He was martyred for himself because he was martyred. I'm making sure it wouldn't become famous. Incidentally, you want to see how much the definition of Shimur varies according to the situation. Take a look at Halacha, the way that it's done. In terms of the Ketzira, we do Shimur Mishas Ketzira. What's done is basically the same thing that's done for Chol of Yisrael. Jew goes down to the field and he watches to make sure that no water brother has come into contact with anything, and this is shimur l'shem matzah. Can you imagine doing that in a goyish bakery? Having the goyim sitting around, and the Jew says l'shem matzah mitzvah. And so why is one okay and one isn't okay? Stop it, go away. Oh, my own daughter, I can't tell her to go away. She wants to do my phone jam. Two people want to know where this year is. They didn't realize that we're going to... Hello, we're in Or HaChaim. Yeah, please call up Bat Nadiv and tell her, okay? Thanks, bye. Okay, so the difference is, L'chaora, this Halach Sam Sofer understands it. The difference is that the question is what creates the chiyah for the shimur. Since the shimur is in terms of the exposure to water, if you hold of shimur b'shat k'tzira, it's not that you've exposed it to water, it's that it might be exposed to water, in which case it doesn't require any active part for you to take, because the exposure itself is just for you to make sure that that exposure that took place without any active involvement of a person shouldn't lead to chimutz. Therefore, all you have to do is be shomer. But when you're talking about the need for the shmirah because of your own pouring the water into the chitim or into the kemah, then over there, the level of the shimur is commensurate with the level of exposure. You exposed, you be shomer. So over there, it's not to sit back and say, I hereby do announce that I'm a mashgiach. You have to do the actual work in a way that sees to it that it shouldn't become chometz, and that becomes part of your shmirah. So when we do the actual working of the dough and so on, and the same as shem matzot mitzvah, which we understand we wouldn't even give to a child to do because of the lack of the ability to be mechavin, so we don't allow ketanim to do that. So unbelievably, it completely changes the formula for the definition of shimur. Mamish l'alocha. He talks about, because nobody understood why that was, right? So they asked Chacham Sofer, why is that a good shmirah? That at the ketzira, nobody does anything. It belonged to goyim. So he says, in love, the v'yamim v'hem b'nei aniyim hem. B'nei l'v'yam. So they know what they're doing. Nobody ever explained this before. To give it to the main event. And this became obvious to people that that's what shimur consists of. Rishad Ziktira, and this is what shimur consists of. Rishad Ziktira.
So
you have to be actively involved. The shimur is part of the activity. In other words, you see, it's a very delicate interrelationship of what you're being shomer from and what the shimur consists of. Shalom and mamash, amazing. Okay, you're on, Sabbat Josh.
Good. Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Ein lo dim kem ach v'toch haroset o lo toch hachardal. V'im natan yochal miyad. Rabbi Meir Oser. This should actually be the end of this Mishnah, because this finishes, we got up to the matzah, we got up to the mor, now we're up to the charoset. The next Mishnah should be the Korban Pesach, you see. So we really, as I say, they always give you the two dots in the wrong place, they always give you the Mishnah definition in the wrong place. Okay, now let's do the next Mishnah. In Mevashlim et HaPesach, when you're going to bake, you make your Korban Pesach, you cannot use water. It says, Nadavim Avasha, Ubashel Mevushal, even though it says over there, Bamayim, says the Mishnah, V'lo B'mei Peirot, and we have to figure out why May Perot, but May Perot are not considered to be mine. Fine. We'll see in the Gemara. Avosachin, however, even while you're roasting, so the succulent Pesach is turning on its spit, you can use the May Perot to put over the meat, like you do on a good, what do they call those things?
Huh? Is there a grill?
No, come on. Where do you come from, Chicago? We're talking about the Middle East. Shvarma, isn't it called Shvarma? It's keves on a thing. The Korban Pesach is a Shvarma. So, a Temani pita. That's Zechel Mikdash Kehilo. That was clearly the Zechel Mikdash, right? That's how they ate in the base of Mikdash. A nice pita around the shvarma. Beautiful. With the with harif in it, too. That's the more. So, anything else? Okay, so you can be matbilinoto, but after it's already cooked, it's already roasted, then you can, of course, dip it into meperot. Meitash mishoshon nachton mishafchu mipnei shemachmitzi. Anything that had been used in the process of the bakery, where they had washed things off even, that has to be thrown out because it contains in it elements that would cause anything else to be mitchametz. So even if it's just used, what they would do is you have the water that you use to dip your hands in to keep the hands cool. It has to continuously change because it contains in it aspects that can be mitchametz. Omrif kana machlok in the tocha chardal. Now, it depends what we're talking about over here. For those of you who are ochle kit, who are not ochle kit, please close your ears at this point because this is horrifying. What we're talking about over here is the kemach into mustard. Okay, so if it's into mustard, which is the way you usually make. Now, mustard is you mix the old Israeli mustards, 90% kemah. Nowadays, I think they started making actual chardal. So there may be a machloket that's sought to say that it won't be chametz right away. But if you put it into charoset, the Torah charoset, because the charoset is neither here nor there. You know, they say in Yiddish, that's the worst thing. So it doesn't stop it from becoming chametz. And on the other hand, it encourages it, because it's just enough to give it that little extra push. I mean, if you were a healthy microorganism, wouldn't you enjoy that extra push? As long as it doesn't pickle you completely, you really get turned on by that steam. So if you're in chardals, then there's a question of whether you were going to be mischametz. And that's the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Tanakhama. But the Torah chardal, if the Torah charoset over there, it should certainly be burned immediately. Tanya amayochei notin kemach Torah charoset v'im natani yisaref miyad. Whereas the Torah chardal, there we have the machlokas our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir omer yisaref miyad, but Chachamim omrim yochel miyad. Omer v'nei b'rei d'Rav Yehuda omer v'Nachman omer Shmuel halacha kidivrei Chachamim. Eat it. It doesn't have to be burned. And lichaora makes a difference if it's in mustard or charoset. But were you referring to charoset? A charoset kamar mar or a chardal kamar mar? What were you referring to? I'm like, huh? Who? What? Mishnah didn't say anything about mustard. Who eats mustard anyway on this? What are you talking about? But then the nafka binu Rav Kahana. The Amar Rav Kahana machlok in the Torah chardal. Aval the Torah charoset tibe akol yisaref miyan. I'm like, eh. Forget about that. Lo shmieli, klamalos, really, I don't think there's any difference between chardals and charosets and so on. It's all the same thing. If there's no problem, then there's no problem. We might as well get to the two dots, huh? Om Ravashi, kavasi Rav Kahana mistaba. Actually, it's more mistaber that on charoset, the Rabbanim would agree, and that when we paskin like the Chachomim, we were paskin like the Chachomim on mustard. Why do I say that? Because midama Shmuel ain't alach Rav Yossi. Shmuel paskened earlier that we don't paskin like Rav Yossi, who said you can use chometz to stop the process of chimutz. Remember, he said with the grain. That was Rav Yossi before. So apparently, when he says ain't alach Rav Yossi, he held that my lab tzimuti odelot samit, that that bit of chimutz that the chometz gives doesn't prevent it. It doesn't cauterize it. But on the contrary, alchimua mechamea. Actually, it would make it become chometz more rapidly. Who said? Who said that necessarily it makes it any worse? You're assuming the difference of chardal and charoset is a question as to whether something that is chimutz causes faster chimutz. The fact that you hold it doesn't cause it right. Doesn't hold that you mean it's going to cause it to make it faster chometz. I don't know whether necessarily Shmuel bought in to the distinction of Rav Kahana necessarily. Okay, so we're left with a psak that it's okay to be mekel. It's not clear whether there should still be a chumra when it comes to the difference between chardal and charoset. Oh, that's an interesting point. Thank you for bringing that up. Who knows what charoset is anyway? Furthermore, clearly the charoset over here is referring to a type of dish, not something that has to do with Seder. Right? We're talking about a general thing called charoset. Indeed, Rashi brings the French for charoset. Now, wouldn't you like to have some idol? It tastes delicious. So, basically, who's the French people here? What is is there modern French for something called aigrus? Aigrus? For a dip, a sharp dip. Huh? Aigro. There you go. So you still call it. That's a Chinese thing, aigro.
We don't pronounce the S at the end.
Yeah, aigro. So what's it made out of? Echosinetze. How do you make aigro? How do you make it? What are the ingredients? You're a Frenchman. Don't tell me you don't know the ingredients. Oh, there you go. So tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to give us away the secret ingredient. It's the main ingredient.
Matis isn't the director, not the chef.
We put
Egro. Yeah, Egro. Yeah. Mata machnis. No, but Eshu Kotevitz doesn't. Aaron, you're getting him off the topic.
No, but something very
sharp, bitter. Ulay ulay mitchalef charif ulay. That's it. So, okay, all right. So anyway, it's a sharp dip.
the meaning exactly is mach, baby, mach.
Mach.
Something, so we put a lot of different kind of, we put a...
But it has vinegar in it. Chomet.
Radish.
Radish. Radish. Radish or raisins?
No, radish and raisin.
Radish and raisin. Okay, so it's similar to our carrots.
Radish and raisin, apple sometimes.
There we go.
But apple and dates.
Fermented. Fermented apple.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fermented, okay. It's exactly what we use for carrots. So it's precisely what ingredients, and maybe hundreds of different ingredients, you know. But basically, the idea is to create a dish that has a sharp vinegary aftertaste, yeah. And that's the question, whether that will encourage limosin. Wonderful. Now we know why we came here. Okay. Thank you. Okay, let's do our...